living an elevated life in Christ is not a destination. It's a journey that we should be continually moving forward in. And in realizing that 6 months into the year, I want to encourage you mid-year to stay strong. Stay strong in the journey of spiritual healthiness. Do not give in under. Pastor Sam touched on it. He didn't know I was talking about it. But don't give in under pressure. Don't give in under pressure. And this morning we're going to talk about pressure to elevate. And so, like I said, Pastor Sam, the OG, flows in the Holy Spirit. I mean, he knew exactly. You know, the Holy Ghost wants you to elevate this year, your family to be spiritually healthy. I want to encourage you to keep hungering and thirsting after righteousness this year. See, we need not to forget. A lot of times and years past, I can just tell you, we've had themes before, and then somewhere in the first quarter of the year, they kind of fall to the wayside. Not purposely. It's just people get busy with things, and it's just, no, but that's, I really am passionate about this year. Because you know why? I believe that this theme, there's a reason why God said that Family Worship Center needs to be spiritually healthy. Family Worship Center needs to be on an elevated level more than ever before. Not that you're better than anybody else. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about living an elevated life in Christ every single day. That you're living on an elevated level with Christ. Because why? That gets the world's attention. When you are walking in light constantly, right? People in darkness see that, and they see something different about you. They see something special about you. And not like special, like, but special, you know. They see something very unique about you that draws them to you and say, hey, you know, with all the craziness that's going on right now in our workplace, how do you stay so stable? How do you stay so calm and cool? That's because you get to witness. You get to share the love of God without even saying anything. Just by your example. Just by how you're living. It's an elevated. So see, because I believe, you know, you see the posters is constantly here, but after a while, they start to blend in with everything. You know? After a while, you just forget that they're up there. And then, because here's what I believe with all my heart. This is a theme. And God desires us to walk this out. Because guess what, church? In just 6 months, we're going to be walking into 2019. And so I challenged each and every one of you at the beginning or at the end of 2017 to really, really focus on your issue. You guys did amazing. You did. I mean, you guys were hungering after God. Man, there was so much fruit that came out of the 21 days of prayer and fasting. So much, so many testimonies, so many breakthroughs that took place. You really did, and we're continuing. But see, here's my point in saying this, that there's a reason why we need to continue to follow after this, because see, we will come to the end of this year. And yes, it's going to be 6 months from now, but just think of how 6 months just flew by. Okay? So we will come to that place once again. It'll be 6 months. And it's, well, I'm going to challenge each and every one of you. I had an instructor at Bible college tell me this, or I say this to our class, you know, and he said, when you start one, or you finish one leg in life, you need to finish that leg, that journey, stronger, harder than you started. Because you're automatically starting a new leg with God. And you'll start that next phase in life, next leg in life, let's say phase, that next season in life, harder than you started the last one. That's what living in an everyday life is. Let me tell you something. I already know what the theme of 2019 is. Yeah, I've already prayed out the rest of the year. And what God has, what he's going to be doing, he's positioning each and every one of you, I believe with all my heart. You look at the things that we've been talking about over the last 6 months, developing you individually to step out, to step up, for God to use you like never before, to give you an avenue, a platform to do that. Not just to say, love the world, and then kick you out the door. Go do it. But give you opportunities to do it within the house of God. I mean, that's what GROW is all about. That's what they're doing. 15 people are doing this next door, right now. And a lot of our department heads and leaders had done this already, or in the middle of doing it. We have our last one tonight. But I'm telling you, all the ministry and the teaching, ultimate transformation discipleship classes, the GROW, small groups, have all been geared in a Holy Spirit orchestrated crescendo to build you up spiritually and to help you be more spiritually healthy than ever before. Now, I'll tell you this, and I'll just do a little pastoring right now. Where you are is only based upon how involved you allowed yourself to get. Some people were like, man, breakthrough, I didn't get my breakthrough. How come they got their breakthrough? Well, you didn't go what they went through, and you didn't do what they did. But you don't need to crack under pressure. We're attempting here at Family Worship to awaken the gifting on this in the inside of each and every one of you, or to help you discover the gifting on the inside of you. I mean, the next 6 months, we're not going to let up, but even give more opportunities. I'm excited about the end of the year. I'm excited about what's coming up. I'm excited about the things that God, how God's kind of just maneuvering some things a little bit differently for the outreaches that we're doing over the next 6 months, and the things, the opportunities that you're gonna have to get involved with. So this morning, without moving on and talking about this, is that this morning I want to encourage you, those of you who are under pressure this morning, because they may maybe not be seeing the same results, or you're just under pressure, period. An elevated lifestyle and breakthrough in our lives shouldn't be just a theme, but it should be, honestly, it should be an everyday way of life. It really should. So this morning, I want to start with our kind of like an intro verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. This is going to encourage someone. I encourage you to write this down. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. So do not throw away your confidence. Woo, we can stop right there. Praise the Lord. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Write it down. That should be an encouragement to you. Some of you need to write that down and read it every single day this week to be encouraged. Don't throw away your confidence, church. Be encouraged this morning. And we're going to pick up on our text. And our text here, that's like an intro text. Our text here is Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 46. You're going to recognize this very, very familiar passage of Scripture. All right? Matthew 26, starting in verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, sit here while I go there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Verse 38, then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here with me, or stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little farther, he fell on his face, fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Verse 40. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked, how many can say that would probably be me? Sometimes an hour is a long time to pray. Sometimes, you know, especially when you're not the person that's leading. that's a human thing right there. And so verse 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away for a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, praying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. Three times Jesus talked about this cup. Three times. What's the deal with the cup? Why does he keep praying about this cup? What is the deal with it? Frey, would you mind giving me that cup of water? Not yet, Brendan. The cup of water. Thank you. All right. So now look at this. This is exactly. Thank you very much. That's good. You didn't put anything in this, did you? You didn't poison it? Are you sure? Now, I want you to understand the context of the cup that Jesus is talking about here this morning. Understand that whenever you wanted to kill a king, you would poison his drink. They would slip poison into the king's drink, and then unexpectedly they would drink it, and then they would die if you wanted to kill the king. That's why they had cupbearers. And so they had cupbearers that would actually test the drink to make sure that the king wasn't going to die. What kind of job is that? That ought to give you plenty of ground never to complain about your job ever again. It is better than a cupbearer. Because, you know, there's only good days with a cupbearer. If you have a bad day, you're done as a cupbearer. Right? But you think about it, that is why they had to have the cupbearer. They did a taste test before the king would drink. So the point of the poison was for the king to drink it unknowingly, and before you know it, the king would be dead. Now, my point is this. What is to be said, then, of a king who would drink a cup knowing that the cup had poison in it? That king must be confident in the fact that death will not have the final say. If you know that poison is in the cup and you still choose to drink it, you must be confident under pressure. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, come on, you can do better than that. Say, neighbor, you need a cup. What does cup mean? Now you can put it up, Brendan. It's confidence under pressure. You need a cup. Confidence under pressure. A quick survey in the house this morning. How many of you can honestly, you know this about yourself, you're good under pressure. I mean, you do well under pressure. Okay? Look at that. How many of you say, nope, I'm not good under pressure? Raise your hand. How many would never raise your hand no matter what question I ask? Thank you, Miss Vivian. Thank you. Wow, there's people that actually raised their hand. Thank you, Mary. Man, these guys are horrible. When I was starting to look up King's speeches and things like that, this movie came up. I have not seen this movie in its totality, but I did see the first opening scene. And anyone ever seen that movie, The King's Speech? Okay, it's with Colin Firth, and he plays King George VI, who in the 1930s desperately did not want to be king of the United Kingdom, but all of a sudden he was pushed in the position by purpose. the weight of that public position exposed a very private battle that he had with a stutter and a stammer that would occur in his speech every time he got under pressure. I watched that scene, that opening scene. I watched it on YouTube. I watched it because I was like, it came up and it caught my attention. Then I went and did the research back of what this movie was about. And he's walking, those of you that saw it, he's walking down the corridor and he's standing there and it's super intense, right? And he's standing there in front of the microphone, right? And his lips are parched, his palms are sweaty, right? His heart is pounding, his heart's just pounding in terror. And while the entire crowd stands up, right? If you guys remember, and they turn around because he's behind them. I mean, there's that moment of where it's just fear in their eyes. They're about to hear what their brand new leader is going to say for the very first time at that opening scene. And that pressure, he starts to, and then everyone's like, oh my Lord, you know? And that moment, I remember back, it brought me back to 1998 when Kathy and I stepped in as a youth pastors, right? In 98. And we accepted the position. And I went from 11 years of being a youth worker, 11 years of being, being there supportive of the youth pastor, being there to being the actual number one guy, being the leader, being the pressure of that number one. And then all of a sudden it hit me after I looked at the pulpit and I said, I got to come up with something to preach every week. You know, seriously, that was pressure. Now, pressure at its severity, Pastor Brian is going through that, right? Pressure at its severity, severely greater, is standing behind this pulpit in front of you every Sunday. Kathy and I always desire that when you're here, that that we hear from God. And that we hear from heaven, and that when you walk in, that you get encouraged, built up, strengthened, that you become closer with God, that you have something more to help you throughout your week. I don't believe in throwaway services here at Family Worship Center. I don't believe in throwaway services. Oh, well, we'll just get it right the second service. Oh, no, that first service was awesome. Second service, we just, go on cruise control. No, there's no throwaway services here. I don't believe in that. But the reality is the difference of standing up here and sitting there is pressure. You don't believe me? What if I said that next Sunday you were preaching on stage? Right? I mean, honestly, we can go over and we can say, okay, Isaiah, he graduated yesterday, right? So did Brooke, right? He's us. Next Sunday, don't leave town because he's going to preach on Sunday morning. How do you feel about that? Look, he's starting to sweat. His heart started, boo, 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 boo. You know? He's like, woo, you know? Like he's like, because. I mean, that's intense. You think about it. The number one fear, human fear, is public speaking. It's public speaking, right? Number two is death. It's true. So that tells me that if people have the option of either speaking at a funeral or being in the funeral, people would say, give me the casket. It's pressure to speak. And then you even throw that it's actually people are looking and saying, what you got this morning. I mean, honestly, you guys have beautiful faces, but you don't have to see your face every morning every Sunday. The way I do it, it's like looking like a cow to go to New Gate sometimes. But the truth of the matter is this. Don't leave now and think, oh my gosh, John is just complaining about his calling. No, there's a severity, there's a truth. There's a reason why I'm standing here today, moving forward. I know that this message is going to help somebody because I believe I am fully cognizant of the fact there are people in this room listening online, even going to listen to this back, that would lift up their hand right now and not even caring about who sees them, saying, you know what, I may not be a public speaker, but I am underneath tremendous pressure in my life right now. I am underneath insane amount of pressure. If pressure could go public today, you would be shocked at some of the pressure that people are carrying around you right now. If pressure can be heard over the sound system, you would be surprised at some of the pressure or the pressures that people are walking with every single day of their life. Pressure, pressure, pressure to perform, pressure to please people, pressure to meet other people's expectations, pressure to meet people's unrealistic expectations, pressure to meet your own expectations, pressure to be a good parent, pressure to be a good husband, pressure to be a good wife, pressure to be a good friend, pressure to get married. Oh, you, honey, you still ain't married. You still flying solo, you know. Pressure to get divorced. Ooh, you still with him? Oh, Jesus, you need to go. No, pressure to have kids. Ooh, I want some grandkids. Praise the Lord, you know. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Let me tell you something about pressure. Pressure isn't prejudice. Pressure isn't racist. Pressure doesn't care how much money you have or how little you have. Pressure doesn't see age. It can hit a CEO in a boardroom, and pressure can also hit a middle schooler in the classroom. It doesn't see age. Pressure can come from anywhere. Remember the verse that we read about not losing your confidence. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. I've said it in so many different ways over the last 6 months that the enemy cannot touch your calling, but he can get your confidence. If he gets your confidence, then he stops your calling. So good. I'm going to say it again. Even if you can read it up there, the enemy cannot touch your calling, but he can get your confidence. If he gets your confidence, then he stops your calling. The tool that the enemy will use to get your confidence is pressure. The one thing to have, it's one thing to have confidence. It's another thing to have confidence under pressure. Think about that for a second. Confidence under pressure. You really don't know if you have confidence unless you have confidence under pressure. You really don't know how you perform until you are really under pressure. We all know an NFL kicker can kick a 47-yard field goal in practice all day long. But you take that kicker and you put him in the Super Bowl in front of thousands and thousands of live people. Not yet. Thousands and thousands of live people. We'll get it. And millions of people watching around the world when there's 8 seconds left on the clock and you're down 19-20. At Super Bowl, now you can. 25. In Tampa, that very thing happened. The Buffalo Bills were down 19-20 with the New York Giants. 8 seconds left on the clock. And there they were on the sidelines holding hands. And you know your pastor's favorite team is Buffalo Bills, okay? All right? So, and this was one of four nightmares, okay? Consecutive nightmares throughout, you know, consecutive. But the thought pattern is the kick is called wide right. Scott Norwood missed the winning field goal and lost it for Buffalo. Wow. That is buckling under pressure. 47-yard field. See? Well, that's not practical. None of us in here can kick a 47-yard field goal, right? So how practical is that, Pastor John? Well, let me make it practical. I know you can be excited about your marriage and love your spouse when they get a raise and when the money is all good in the neighborhood, right? And the kids are making straight A's and there's Hawaiian punch flowing out of the water fountain, right? Everything is so great. But can you be excited about your marriage when your spouse loses that job? And your money is funny and your change is strange. And you get the final notice on the house. It's been sent. The kids are running around like raptors from Jurassic World 2. The fallen kingdom is all falling apart all around you. Can you be excited about your marriage then? Can you be excited about your family then? I know all of you, all of us, I know you can worship God when your body is healthy and you're feeling good. I mean, look at you. You just drove yourself to church today. You're really doing great. But can you worship when the doctor gives you that report? Standing in faith, or just are you just going to lie down and give up the ghost? I know your faith is fine when God sends you flowers, but what do you do when your faith is facing a fiery furnace? Can you do what the three Hebrew boys did? God can't deliver us. God will deliver us. Regardless of what happens, I refuse to bow, they said. Regardless of what happens, I refuse to bow. And I'm still going to trust him. Can you do that under pressure? Your praise is not predicated on the pressure that is put upon you. In fact, the pressure is producing something inside of you that is making you better and stronger for God. Confidence under pressure. Confidence under pressure. I really felt this week that, I was going to get in here talk about, just being under pressure. And I don't know. It's just that ungodly pressure on some individuals. Not the whole church. It's just, God just got my attention this week. Some people are dealing with this. It could be from any aspect in any way. And it's like, I thought I was going to be able to get this all out in 1 week. But I'm not. And so next week, we're going to continue on this. Just for one more week. Because we're going to tear apart that scripture in Matthew. And I'm going to show you something about that event that somehow I think the majority of us have overlooked about Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane. But it's like, how can I miss that? Why did I not see that before? Oh my goodness, that is pretty important right there. But this morning, if the music ministry wouldn't mind coming up, I want those of you. Some of you may say, you know what? I can't wait for next week. I can't wait for next week, Pastor John. And next week, I'm going to give you some natural application, some points that you can apply to your life immediately. But I can't wait for next week. I need something now. Well, guess what? This morning, I believe there's an anointing in the room. God's here, and He wants to take that pressure from you. But let me tell you something. You've got to be willing to give it up. You've got to be willing to lay it at the altar. You've got to be willing to say, here you go, Jesus. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to be like the three here people are shouting at me, Meshach and Abednego. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bow to pressure. I'm not going to take a knee to pressure. But I will bow before the King. But I'm not going to take a knee under pressure. I refuse to give up. And if you're in this place this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place this morning and you're saying, I am just under an immense amount of pressure. I want you to lift your hand up on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Hands are going up all over. Here's what we're going to do. I want everyone to stand up. Prayer workers, unless you didn't put your hand up, right, prayer workers, come on down. Here's what we're going to do. This is an anointing, and we're not going to do this. We're not going to say, okay, well, guess what? Come up and get, you know, these guys are going to be praying for you. And no, we're going to do this right now. Because you know what? The devil will pressure you into walking out and not getting, giving you an opportunity to give that to God. So, well, Pastor John, I don't want to be embarrassed. Why should you be embarrassed about walking out free? Why should you be embarrassed about that? And so here's what we're going to do. If you're in this place and you raised your hand, these people down here, they're going to pray with you. And I believe with all of my heart, I'm so persuaded about this, that there's going to be immediate pressure released. There's going to be an immediate removal of just this weight that's on your shoulders, you know, immediate. But you've got to do your part. And that's the whole thing about it, living an elevated life, is that, you know what? We live in such a world that everything is just handed to us. We want something our way, we go through Burger King. You know, this and that and everything else, you know? It's just like we need everything and we need it immediately. It's got to be at our fingertips right then and there. But I'm telling you what, but if we got to do a little bit of something for it, we get turned off. Well, you know, that's just not me. You know what? Yeah, I'll say it. If that attitude, if that mentality was working, then you wouldn't be where you are.